I'd like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. I'd like for us to look at the 136th Psalm. Please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 136. There is an expression made 26 times in this one Psalm. I don't know of any other place in the Bible where one expression is used over and over like it is in this one psalm. Psalm 136, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God begins by declaring that we should give thanks unto the Lord. And then this reason that we should give thanks to the Lord is mentioned 26 times. He says, in Psalm 136, I want to read this entire psalm. The psalm says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto God, unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which smote great kings, for His mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for His mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for His mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for His mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel His servant, for His mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever." This psalm began by saying, "Oh, give thanks unto God." And it closes in the last verse. It says to give thanks unto God. And the reason, the primary reason that is emphasized 26 times in this one psalm, the one thing that God repeatedly declares through David is that we are to give thanks unto God, for His mercy endureth forever. If you go back in time, if you go all the way back to the creation of this world, in the very creation of this world, it was God's mercy that created the world. That's what is described in the first few verses, is the creation of the earth. If you go to the Garden of Eden, you still can declare there and must declare, His mercy endureth forever. And you come all the way through all the history of the children of Israel, and in every age and in every dispensation, in every generation, it is declared, His mercy endureth forever. And even though we're in the year 2009, His mercy is still enduring today. And as long as this world continues, His mercy will endure forever. Now, if I don't know that I need mercy, then I'm not going to be giving thanks to God for His mercy. But if I understand about myself and I understand that I need mercy, I need God's mercy and I need God's grace, then I'm going to be praising God and giving thanks to God to know this truth that His mercy endureth forever. His mercy is a tremendous blessing beyond measure. When the Apostle Paul wrote about praying to God, He says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace to what? To obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. If it were not for the mercy and the grace of God, there would not be a single person in the eternal heaven. Everybody would spend eternity in eternal hell if it were not for the mercy and the grace of God. It is also because of the mercy of God that we have, and the grace of God. It's the mercy and the grace of God. The mercy of God spares us from great severe judgments from God. The grace of God bestows blessings upon us in our lives. We are not worthy of the mercy or the grace of God. And so it is that this psalmist, David, understood that we need to give thanks to God for His mercy endureth forever. How often, my question first, is how often do you really think about that God is merciful to you? God is full of mercy and He's full of grace. He's full of grace and He's full of truth and He's full of love. But the one thing I want us to look at right now is that God is full of mercy, and the Bible declares that hundreds of times that we need to give thanks for the mercy of God that's shed abroad in our lives. The mercy of God. God is merciful to me and God is merciful to you. You remember what David said whenever David was writing that 100th Psalm. What's the first verse of Psalm 100 say? All of you know, I'm sorry. Well, we could go to Psalm 100 because the same truth is expressed there in the last verse there. But in Psalm 23, everybody here knows Psalm 23. What's the first verse of Psalm 23 say? The first verse. Say it again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, do you know why that's true, that the Lord is your shepherd? It's because of the what? It's because of the mercy of God. Do you know why you shall not want? It's because of the mercy of God. And if you were to go through that 23rd Psalm, you would find that it's the mercy of God and the grace of God that bestows all of those blessings that are described in that Psalm, that 23rd Psalm that we all know and rejoice in. But the last verse of that Psalm, Psalm 23, the last thing that David says in summarizing that Psalm, he says, surely goodness and what? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Do you think David was happy when he could write down those words? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Was David happy? And was he giving glory to God? And was he thanking God for the mercy of God? His mercy endureth forever. Now back up in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 119, the longest book of the Bible, the longest chapter of the Bible. In Psalm 119, look at Psalm 119, verse 71. Now, let me ask you this question. As we're talking about the mercy of God, and we think about the mercy of God, does that mean that because God is merciful, that God does not judge His people, and that God does not chasten His people? Is that what God being merciful means? Absolutely not. In fact, when you stand before a judge, if you have been guilty of certain things, you might cry out for, and you might ask for, what? You might ask for mercy. You don't want necessarily, if you've done something severely wrong, you probably don't want justice. Every time that I have ever been stopped for speeding, I have always asked for, what? Mercy. I don't deny that I've been speeding, no doubt, even if I wasn't aware of it, no doubt I was speeding, but I ask for mercy because I don't want justice right then. I want Him to have mercy on me. And brethren, God, our God, has had mercy on us every day of our lives. His mercy endureth forever. We receive blessings because of His grace, and we don't receive severe judgment every day because of His, what? Mercy. You remember how Habakkuk said, in wrath, now does God's wrath come down on His people sometimes? Individually, families and churches, indeed it does, and nations. And what Habakkuk said was, in Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 2, Habakkuk said, in wrath, he's crying to God, he says, in wrath, remember, what? Mercy. I need your mercy, even though I know I deserve your wrath, and even though I know that you are going to judge me, and you're going to carry out some degree of punishment, I'm asking you that in your wrath, you remember, what? Mercy. Does God do that? Does God do that? Brethren, God always, God's judgment, God's wrath, God's chastening is always, in the lives of His people, it is always tempered with mercy. His mercy endureth forever. In fact, not only does His mercy endureth forever, but His mercy is manifested to every one of His children every day of their lives. You have experienced the mercy of God already today. Everybody in this building, there's not a person here that God has not been merciful, and I always want to just keep adding, and gracious, because, brethren, it's hard to separate the two, and it's hard to think about the fact that God's been merciful to me without also declaring God's also been gracious to me. He's been merciful and He's been gracious. But right now we're just looking at His mercy. Now look at Psalm 119 and verse 71. David had done some things wrong in his life, and David talks about the mercy of God. And every writer, all through the book of Psalms, all the different psalmists, they all talk about the mercy of God. Over and over they declare the mercy of God. In fact, they declare the mercy of God. The mercy of God is declared in the Old Testament more than the grace of God is declared. And so it is in Psalm 119. Look at verse 71. Psalm 119, this psalmist says in Psalm 119 and verse 71, he said, It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Anybody here ever been afflicted? Had afflictions? I had one dear brother this morning that said, next time that my ox is in the ditch, would you please come help me? Well, yes, I will, brother, but you need to let me know. I can't come help you if I don't know. Brother Neil's truck broke down, and he's got skint knuckles and everything else, just all messed up. His hands are all messed up from trying to fix his truck. Sister Tracy Adams is not able to be here this morning because her van is broken down. The transmission is gone in it. There are people that have conflicts that interfere with their lives. Sometimes it is God's chastening hand. It's not always the chastening hand of God. I'm not saying, and the Word of God does not teach that every problem you have is the chastening hand of God. But there are times that God does send afflictions and troubles and tribulations in our lives because of our wrongdoing. And in our wrongdoing, when God begins to chasten us, you know what we need to cry out for every time? We need to cry for mercy. And David says, here it is, or not David, but another psalmist says, it is good for me that I've been afflicted. Now that's one of the strangest statements in the Word of God, unless you have the wisdom to know that it is good for me when I've been afflicted. Why is, did Brother David tell me any reason that you know that afflictions have been good in your life? Yes, that's across the board. That's across the board. Afflictions will draw you closer to God. Doesn't matter whether it's a trial of your faith. Job had afflictions beyond description. And they were not because of God's judgment. They were trials of his faith. And in all of those afflictions that Job had, what was Job crying for? If you go there and read the book of Job, he was crying for mercy. And sometimes in our lives, when judgments come and afflictions come, we need to declare, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. He says in Psalm 119, verse 71, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Come down now to verse 75. Verse 75, this psalmist says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. What's he saying? It has this psalmist been experiencing afflictions that were the judgments of God? This psalmist that we're looking at in Psalm 119:75 has been experiencing afflictions that were the judgments of God because of his disobedience. Now listen to the next verse. He says, let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. Let, now listen carefully to verse 77. Let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. You know, God can bring you to your knees where you're glad to read and study the laws of God. But I want you to get verse 77. Now in verse 76, he talked about he was crying for mercy. But I want you to notice verse 77. In verse 77, he says, let thy tender mercies come unto me. Do you hear that expression? Let thy tender mercies come unto me. Did you know that there are at least 10 times in the book of Psalms that different writers in the book of Psalms talk about thy tender mercies? Those words, that phrase, is used at least 10 times in the book of Psalms where different writers are saying thy tender mercies. They're asking for God's tender mercies, or they're thanking God for thy tender mercies. I want you to remember that expression. Have any of you ever heard anybody pray, look down upon us in tender mercy? Have any of you ever heard anybody pray that? Do any of you know anybody in the congregation that typically prays that when he prays? Anybody remember? Who? Who? Well, I know some of you do silently, but little Walker Allen Lee. Did you know that most every time he prays, when he's called on, we typically sometimes call on him in the annex on Wednesday night supper for prayer. One of the statements he makes in the beginning of his prayer often is, look down upon us in what? Tender, what? Tender mercy. Tender mercy. Do you see the loving Father that's behind that expression, tender mercy? You would almost expect that to be an expression. When you think of tenderness, if I think of a parent that is tender, I would usually think of my mother as being tender. But I'm telling you that our God, our Heavenly Father, He in all days of our lives, He does look down upon us with His tender mercies. And we need to cry out to God, look down upon us in thy tender mercies. And every time it's used in the Word of God, thy tender mercies, it's always used in the plural. Let thy tender mercies be manifest in my life. Look down upon me in thy tender mercies. Do you know what every one of us needs to pray for today? What do we need to pray for? We need to pray for God's what? Give me two words instead of just mercy. What? Tender mercies. Look down upon us in thy tender mercies. Isn't it wonderful to know the mercy of God and the grace of God? It'll make you want to praise the Lord. It'll make you want to say like this, dear sister, yes it is, yes it is. It's good to hear about the mercy of God. It's good to hear about the grace of God. I want us to understand that our God is not just some, He's not a vengeful God that's sitting up there waiting to zap you. Our God is our Heavenly Father, and our God is full of mercy and grace. Now, you can take that and go into a ditch on the other side, but I want you to remember this truth. Our God is full of mercy and grace and truth and love. And everything God has ever done has been for His people has been moved and motivated by love. And it has always been tempered by His mercy. And it's always been manifested by His grace. Isn't that a wonderful Father? Did you know there's not a Father in here that really, really is just like our Heavenly Father? Not a one. You think of the best daddy that you've ever known in your life, there's not a single daddy on this earth that compares to our Heavenly Father. And I'm glad. And I had as good a daddy, I think I had as good a daddy as I could have. I thank God for the daddy that I had. But my Heavenly Father, is worthy of all the praise and honor and glory that I can give Him in this world and in that glory world which is to come. What did David say in that 136th Psalm? What did he say in that 136th Psalm? What did he say 26 times in that one Psalm? He says, "For His," what? "For His mercy endureth forever." Now we presently live about 3,000 years after David lived. And can we declare, just like David did, and David was born about 3,000 years after the earth began. David was born, and he knew the mercies of God. When he wrote that psalm, he went all the way back to creation. He said, "In the creation, His mercy endureth forever." And he went all through the history of the first 3,000 years of this earth, and he said, "His mercy endureth forever." And in His writing, He declares, in His own life, "His mercy endureth forever." And here we are 3,000 years later, and what can we declare? "His mercy endureth forever." Is His mercy still enduring today? Indeed it is. The only reason America has not been destroyed already is because of the mercy, the mercy and the grace of God. And the only reason that your life has not been cast away from God is because of the mercy and the grace of God. So what did David say in the beginning of the scripture reading today? He said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto God, for His mercy endureth forever." Back up in the Psalms now to Psalm 103. I want you to notice what Psalm 103 and verse 8 says. Psalm 103. Please back up and look in your Bibles as we go along, because it's important that you see what the Word of God says. Not just hear it, but it's important that you see what the Word of God says. In Psalm 103 and verse 8, the Word of God says, and this again is a Psalm of David. David says in Psalm 103 and verse 8, he says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious." Does he always want to combine mercy and grace? Yeah, it's hard to separate them. He says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger," and then what did he do? He goes back to mercy and he says, "and plenteous in mercy." Isn't that beautiful? God is what? Plenteous. Now what does that mean? Have any of you ever used the word plenteous other than reading the Bible? Have you ever used the word plenteous? Not a word we use. What does it mean? A bunch of it. The Lord is full of mercy. He is plenteous in mercy. He has plenty of mercy. And He manifests plenty of mercy. He is plenteous of mercy. Now, remember that. And I want you to back up to Psalm 86. Remember that the Lord is plenteous in mercy. And I want you to listen to what Psalm 86 says, because I want to ask you this question while you're turning to Psalm 86. I want to ask you, is the mercy of God, very serious and important question, is the mercy of God conditional, or is the mercy of God unconditional? Which way? Which is it? Say it again. What do you mean? Both. Don't you know the answer to the question? What is it? What's the answer to the question? Which one? Conditional or unconditional? Thank you. Don't let me budge you. Stick to your guns. That's good, Brother Mike. It is both. There are times in our lives that God says, I will manifest mercy to you if you, and He will tell you something to do. There are other times in our lives, brethren, and this is true in the life of every child of God, that the mercy of God has, most of the time, the mercy of God has been unconditional. That is, God has manifested His mercy even when we didn't ask for mercy. God has manifested His mercy even when we didn't do anything to get His mercy. But there is special mercy that God shows to His people when they do certain things, and that's described in the Word of God. For example, and we're going to look here at Psalm 86. We'll go ahead, I want to give you this example because I'll forget it. In Proverbs 28 and verse 13, the Word of God says, He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Have you ever tried to cover up sin? Every time I think about that verse, he that covereth his sins, have you ever seen a cat cover it up? Well, it's still there. It didn't go away. And that's the way sin is in our lives. You can cover it up all you want to. It still stinks. Sin still stinks. And the Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. You do wrong, I do wrong. Is there anybody here that's ever tried to cover up your sin? Anybody here that's ever... There's not a person here that hasn't tried to cover up your sin. Not a one of us. Every one of us. There have been times in our lives that we have done wrong and we tried to cover up sin, and the Bible says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. If you cover it up, if you try to hide it, it's going to come out. One way or another. The Bible says that God says, be sure your sin will find you out. Hide it all you want to. Be sure it's going to come to light. That's without exception. But now listen. I didn't give you the rest of that verse. Psalm 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. Now listen carefully. But whosoever confesseth and forsaketh his sins shall have mercy. Do you hear that? You've done wrong. And as you've done wrong, you covered it up. And now you've realized either it came to light or else you just know it's going to come to light. So instead of keeping it covered up, what do? He that confesseth and what? What's the second thing? Forsaketh. What does forsake sin mean? Turn away from it means repent. Turn away from it. He that confesseth and forsaketh his sins shall have mercy. Is that a conditional mercy that God manifests only in the lives of some of God's children? He that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. God will be merciful to you when you will confess and repent and turn away from your sin. I am thankful that God has mercy. He does. Now listen, Psalm 86. Psalm 86 and verse 5. The Word of God says, for Thou, Lord, art good. Is God good? Is God good? All the time. Thank you, sister. Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy. So this says the same thing that Psalm 103 verse 8 says, right? Except Psalm 103:8 closed by saying that he is plenteous in mercy. But this verse says, he is plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Now, is this a conditional plenteous in mercy? This is only when God's people begin to call upon God and say, as Walker does often in his prayer, O Lord, look down upon us in thy tender mercies. When you call on the Lord, The scripture says in Romans 10, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is a salvation that comes to God's repentant children when they call on the name of the Lord. He is plenteous in mercy to them that call upon Him. Do you see that? Have you ever called on God and asked God for mercy? There's been times in my life I thought it was all over. I'm not talking about physical sickness. There have been times in my life that, especially in my early 20s, that had it not been for the mercy and the grace of God, I would have lost my family 100%. It would have been all over. It was the mercy and the grace of God that kept me and Teresa together. It was the mercy and the grace of God. God's been merciful and gracious to me. Plenteous. Plenty of mercy and grace. That's the last time I needed mercy, thank the Lord, right? Oh, no. Yesterday, I needed the what? In fact, I think it was yesterday, the day before yesterday, Teresa asked me a question, and I responded in some way kind of sharp. She said, if somebody else had been here, would you have answered me like you just did? I said, no, I wouldn't have. And she said, well, the Lord's here. Now, I had to ask her, and I did. I asked her to forgive me. And listen, brethren, God's Word is important. If you want to make it in this life, this is the way that you can make it in this life. If you want day-by-day help in your life, and you need help, whether you realize or not, you need help. May God help us to cry out for God to send down, let thy tender mercies come down upon us every day of our lives. Call upon the name of the Lord. There is plenteous mercy to them that call upon Him. If you were to go to the New Testament, we don't have time to do this right now, but if you would go to the New Testament, you remember that there was a woman who brought her daughter to Jesus that was grievously sick. And do you remember the words? And she was a Canaanite. She was a Gentile. And she came to Jesus. And you remember how Jesus later said, it's not right to give bread to the dogs. You remember that? Well, the first thing that the woman said when she got to Jesus with her sick daughter who was dying, do you know what she said? The first words that came out of her mouth? Well, no, that was in response to that, yes. But the first thing she said when she first got to Jesus, the first thing she said was, have mercy on me, O Lord. Did she know that she looked like a dog to the Jews? Certainly she knew that. In fact, as Brother Neil said, whenever he said it's not right to give the bread to the dogs, she said, truth, Lord. She didn't argue with him. I'm nothing but a dog. Did you know that's what David said about himself? David said, I'm no better than a dog. I need the mercy of God in my life. You need the mercy of God in your life. So the woman that brought her daughter said, have mercy on me, O Lord. That's Matthew 15. In Matthew 17, there was a man who brought his son to Jesus, and that son was grievously vexed, and the son was dying, and the apostles couldn't heal the son, and he came to Jesus. Do you know what the first words were that came out of his mouth as he came to Jesus? You remember what the first words were? It was, Lord, have mercy on my son. Now the woman said, have mercy on me, O Lord. And this man was saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. What did he know? Even though that was a child, the child needed what? The child needed mercy. Oh, this idea of age of accountability and all that, that's hogwash. That's not taught in the Word of God. Children need mercy. Adults need mercy. Old people need mercy. Young people need mercy. We all need mercy. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord is right. Praise the Lord for what? Praise the Lord for His what? For His mercy. Praise the Lord for His mercy. Now, all we've talked about so far is the mercy of God toward us. But I want to leave you with something in closing. You need to be merciful to those around you. Does that mean that you need to overlook what people do around you that's wrong? Does that mean that you overlook it? No, but it does mean that there are times that you, by your mercy and your grace, can you be merciful? Can you be merciful? Can you be merciful? Yes, you can. In fact, Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 7, He says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Is that a conditional mercy that's given right there? Yes, it is. Blessed are the merciful. Now, you catch somebody doing something wrong, does that mean you just overlook it and turn the other way? No. But what does it mean? It means that in your wrath and in your judgment, you remember what? Remember mercy. May God help us, brethren, everybody, may God help us to say, His mercy endureth forever, and may God help us to remember every day to pray, like Walker does when he prays, "Look down upon us in thy tender," what? Mercies, love, yes. "But look down upon us in thy," here's the expression used most often in the Bible, "in thy tender mercies." May God help us to pray for God's tender mercies in our lives every day is my prayer for Christ's sake.